Good morning, friends. Welcome to the roundtable and to the roundtable panel this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Just listening to Kraftwerk, their music. Co-founder Florian Schneider died of cancer at the age of 73. We'll be playing that music this morning. You can find all of our musical selections on our playlist, wamc.org/roundtable. Good morning. It's very nice to have you with us. It is the seventh day of May. 14 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and we are thrilled that you are with us to join us in conversation and community. We have wonderful guests. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of good work to do, and we're going to do all of that this morning, so let us get started. A reminder, you can always join in on the conversation by emailing us, panel at wamc.org, panel at wamc.org. Let me introduce the group to you this morning. We have communications professor and former New York State Senator Terry Gibson with us. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you, as always. UAlbany adjunct professor, investigative journalist Rosemary Armeo is with us. Good morning, Rosemary.
Hello, hello.
And in a few minutes, we are going to be joined by Siena College professor of comparative politics Vera Acarius Kelly. We're going to wait. Vera's going to join us in just a little bit. We have limited phone lines, so we wanted to get in another special guest for the first go-round here, and that is Natasha Pernicka, executive director of the Food Pantries of the Capital District. And Natasha, good morning. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure, as always, to speak to you, my friend. We now go to WAMC's Alan Shartok. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
And hello, Joe. It's great to be here this morning, particularly because the WAMC listenership has been all of us. Our community has been coming together and doing incredible things that we never thought we would see here at WAMC. The amount of money that has come in the last couple of days, the amount of support that everybody is feeling towards a public radio station that really is filling a unique niche. Here is really unbelievable and so heartwarming, I cannot even begin to tell you. So we are so pleased. Why don't you read out some of what's happening here, Joe?
Well, let me give you a couple of numbers that are important to know. First of all, you know, we've been talking about the lockbox for a little while and telling you, you know, our plight and what's going on. And but really on Monday is when we started doing this during the show and so forth. And today is Thursday, and in 3 days and what was already in the lockbox, we have $581,577 of the $1 million that we need, which is really incredible and speaks to what Alan just mentioned.
There are so many people, Joe, who we have to thank. The major challenges that are coming up, the people who are saying, this is my radio station and I will support it. It's really something else. It is extraordinary that this is going on. You know, that's a lot of money, all right, and a lot more will be coming in today. Let me just announce something, Joe, that I never thought I would see. We have coming in, handed to me this morning, a $15,000 match. $15,000. Joe, can you tell us the particulars on this?
Absolutely. It's an amazing match from, a challenge from Stephen Hagedorn of Rock Tavern, New York, $15,000. And it's just incredible. It's one person doing an amazing thing. And what we're talking about this morning, I don't know if Alan, if I can start.
You certainly can.
We can start talking about this. But, you know, the top story today and the story that we were going to mention and the story that is on the front page of the New York Times is about food insecurity. And it is about a lot of people in this country going hungry as a result of this, our economic situation, as well as the effects of COVID-19 and shutting down the economy. So food insecurity and our food supply chain, this is a big story. And there's two stories in the New York Times. One is, as hunger swells, food stamps become a partisan flashpoint. That's one story. And the other one is really, I think, the clincher as far as getting you, you know, to weep, if you will, of the number of hungry children in the country. And that is also just mind-numbing of how many kids are affected by this. So this morning what we're going to do, and we have until 11 o'clock this morning to do this, we want to make $50,000, and that's to get the $15,000 challenge that we just mentioned from Stephen Hagedorn. And what we're also going to do is what we've done before with our wonderful friends, the Fox Foundation, as well as the food pantries of the Capital District, and that's why Natasha's here today, that for a $100 pledge to WAMC, you pledge $100 to WAMC, and that triggers the Fox Foundation to make the funds available for the equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four. 3 months of food for a family of four. So as you read these headlines and as you look at what's happening and hear what's happening and see the pictures on television and hear the stories on our radio station, that you know there is great need and there is great suffering going on. It seems overwhelming, and there is something, little thing, that we can do this morning to not only help this radio station, but also to help the people in our community who are in desperate need. So we'll go to Natasha in just a second, but yes, Alan.
So there's a great deal going on here. There's this $15,000 match. We've never seen anything like it, folks, and we really want to get it, and we know you'll be there for us. And you can do it three different ways, 1-800-323-9262. That is not the preferred way. But it is a way, because we only have about 9 volunteers here, not volunteers, staff people, frankly, to do this. Then you could do it at the way we really want you to do it, and only this time, but not next time. And that is WAMC.org. Go to WAMC.org and put in your amount. That'll be great. And by the way, when you go to WAMC.org, at the bottom, you can see a barber pole, exactly how much we've raised, right, Joe?
Absolutely, Alan. Yeah. And I just want to mention, for people who are going online, and we hope most of you will, and if you do it by phone, obviously it will be asked. But if you do it online, in the drop-down menu for premiums, you will see where it will say for the food pantries. If you can find it easily, just put in your comment section, food pantries, and we'll take care of it.
Now, there's a limit on how many of these that we have, right?
That's right. So we have 400, what we say, opportunities, 400 opportunities to help basically 400 families in our region for 3 months. 3 months of food for a family of four for 3 months. And so it's a lot. We want to get rid of every one of them, of course. We want to help every family that we possibly can. This is amazing. We are thanks to the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, who is donating this equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four. Just so people understand, their money goes to the food pantries. Your money comes to us. What it does is it triggers those funds to become available. So it lets us do a good thing, lets you do a good thing, and it also, of course, helps this wonderful organization. So,
fantastic.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. Yes, that preferred way. And you can always just put, and two things I just want to say real quick before we get started here. One is, look, not everybody can do $100. We know that. Not everyone can do anything, and we know that, too. What we also know is that whatever you can do to support this time, to support this, if you have $10 or $15 or $40, and you can support what we're doing, that helps us. And it helps us in getting other funders for projects like this, and shows that there is a need and a want to help people. But to have you personally help a family of four for 3 months of food, which is just incredible, please, $100 pledge. You know, Alan, what we see all the time when we do this is people helping two families and five families and 10 families. And it's amazing. When we're in the fund drive room, each one is a sticker. And sometimes the paper weighs 5 pounds because it has so many stickers on it.
So many stickers on it. Yeah.
So this isn't, we're sticker free during this pandemic, but we know that people will be generous and help out as much as they can. So 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC.
Joe, I just wanted to add to your appreciation, mine and that of the whole station for the Fox Foundation, for the Seymour Fox Foundation, doing this. This is an incredible good that they are doing. They're not only helping the radio station, obviously, but they are helping all of these wonderful and people who might not have food otherwise. And what can I say except that we are incredibly grateful to you, Fox Foundation.
We certainly are. Thanks to Bonnie Chavin and to Glenn, the director, and just to everyone who we work with, and of course through the food pantries. And it's a effort to a great effort to come together, and we enjoy it so. And it's just a great thing that we can help so many people and do so much good work, not only for WAMC but for our community. So let me get
Joe. Will you tell us how we're doing? As
absolutely.
We go? And how many are left? Because there will be very few left.
Absolutely. I have all the pertinent numbers in front of me. Money's coming in now, so we're already at we're trying to get, but just so you know, the 50,000 point will be 630,000. Right now we're at 585. So already $5,000 in just the few minutes that we've been talking. Before we go over to a break, I want to get to set this up is Natasha Pernicka, who is executive director of the Food Pantries of the Capital District. So here is the article from the New York Times. As a padlocked economy leaves millions of Americans without paychecks, lines outside food banks have stretched for miles, prompting some of the overwhelmed charities to seek help from the National Guard. New research shows a rise in food insecurity without modern precedent among mothers with young children. Nearly one-fifth say their kids are not getting enough to eat, according to a survey by the Brookings Institution, a rate three times as high in 2008 during the worst of the Great Recession. I want to read that again. Among mothers with young children, nearly one-fifth say their children are not getting enough food to eat. This is in the United States of America. According to a survey by the Brookings Institution, a rate three times as high as in 2008 during the worst of the Great Recession. The reality of so many Americans running out of food is an alarming reminder of the economic hardship the pandemic has inflicted. Natasha, first of all, let me once again welcome you and thank you so much for all the beautiful work that you do in the community and for your friendship and for just being so terrific. So what I just read, how much of that are you seeing in this region, in the 60 plus food pantries that you oversee in our community?
Yeah, we are definitely seeing an increase in food resources going out in this region. In a normal year in our region, there's 65,000 people who are seeking assistance in a regular year. And what we're experiencing now is an increased volume in a whole bunch of new people who have never experienced this before. We have our food access referral line, and the call volume has increased something like 900% since the crisis started for people trying to find food resources. So we are grateful to be working together collaboratively with a network of nearly 70 food pantries regionally to make sure that pantry shelves are stocked and that people know where they can go to get food.
Are they getting food, and are you having trouble keeping your look, you will go into the grocery store and they're just decimated. Are you having trouble keeping your shelves full?
Yeah, the supply chain is definitely disrupted. Obviously, it's impacting the food pantries as well. So, you know, there will be one week where bread is difficult to get, you know, rice is difficult to get. So pantries are doing the best they can. They do provide food based on the MyPlate model. So they're providing grains and proteins and fruits and vegetables. Many pantries are still providing fresh produce. But it's, you know, some of the staples, there was one pantry yesterday saying, I've got bread, I've got jelly, but I don't have any peanut butter.
Mm.
You know, so it's so I think pantries are doing the best that they can. Some pantries have increased the amount of times that that a family can come to the pantry. So some are serving weekly, some are serving every other week. Basically, everybody's doing the best they can with the resources that they have. But I think it's really important to note that food pantries are there all year long. Pantries have been doing this for many, many years and really are the ones on the ground doing this work. And so when we see those pictures in the news of the cars lining up and just these crazy lines, we want to make sure that the pantries are staying open right now so that that's not the only way we're resorting to getting food. Because if the pantries in the community and the neighborhood stay open, we'll have less of those huge lines happening where people are waiting hours to get food. And right now in our region, of our nearly 70 food pantries, only two are temporarily closed. So the vast majority of pantries are open, providing service. Some of them have changed their operations where it's by appointment or they're taking the food right out to someone's car. So it's very important to give a call first just to make sure you get in with the appointment to get the food that's needed. Pantries are taking a lot of precautions to make sure that they're safe and they're reducing, you know, the spread of germs. And they're incredible because a lot of them are doing it because they're limiting the number of people interacting. They're really doing this short-staffed and just incredible people making this happen in our community.
So a couple of things I want to mention. One is that you can help out. What we're doing this morning is you pledge $100 to WAMC. That makes that triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to give the resources necessary to feed a family of four for 3 months. This is during the summer months. Schools are out, kids are home. So this is going to be, June, July, August. And whatever you can do right now in helping one family or three families or five families or however many families you can help, that is really important. We have 400 opportunities. We'll give you an update on how many we have left, but they're going very fast. Alan, we've already made $10,000 just in the last 15 minutes.
Well, that's amazing. And it's one more testimonial to the WAMC group. It's unbelievable.
It really is. And look, we want you, we love when you call up and you want a hat or a tote bag or a mug. But for a premium this morning of helping feed a family of four in our region for 3 months, Natasha, I don't want to force you and put words into your mouth. Hey, Natasha, please compliment us. But what I am interested in is, like, what difference does this kind of thing make? I know you and I have talked about this, but the difference of because when we started doing this, it was always an idea to add on what you've already had, you know, that this would be an extra so that our people can help you do something extra. So just give us a sense over the time that we've been doing this of the impact that it's had.
Oh my gosh. So it's been incredible. The support from the Seymour Fox Foundation and from WAMC and the opportunity to raise awareness of the issue and raise support. I mean, we've raised tens of thousands of dollars over the years, and I don't have that total number in my head right now, but
I wouldn't expect
it's really
you to.
Made a huge impact. I can tell you when we started this, years ago, our coalition was much smaller, and our work really is to make sure that we're supporting the pantries by helping filling in the gaps, delivering food, providing food funding allocations and free diapers and formula. And we were able to support around 50 food pantries, and now we're supporting nearly 70. And it really, the support that this is providing helps make sure that those pantry shelves are stocked, so that when people come there, they have the food that's needed. They're not running out of food. And one of our big goals, too, was to tell the community what is a food pantry and kind of reduce the stigma around people seeking assistance. I had a friend who was going through a difficult time, and they were too embarrassed to go to DSS to sign up for SNAP, and called, and I said, use a food pantry. It's groceries, you know, staple items. It'll help you get through when you're experiencing a difficult time. That's what pantries are there for. And so this opportunity to talk about what is a pantry, and how do you even go about getting assistance from a pantry is critical. And I think especially now for people who are getting laid off or losing resources, the food pantries don't have a income guideline per se. If you come to a pantry and you are in need, the critical thing is you're in need of assistance. They are there for you. So I think sometimes when people in the past, you know, have had short-term crises and they're concerned that they won't be eligible, this is a short-term crisis for so many people right now. So for those of you who have the resources, it's incredible for you to support this effort. And for those of you right now having a crisis, the pantries are there for you. And having the opportunity to talk about this on WAMC is incredible. So we are so grateful for it.
Well, we're so grateful for the beautiful work you're doing in the community and helping, because if you weren't there, you know, people really would be going without. I just one more thing, and then I'll throw this over to the panel if they have any questions and want to talk about this issue, too. And that is just, you were mentioning of what is a food pantry. We use the word, and it's riddled. It's throughout this article that is in the New York Times this morning that I referenced earlier about food insecurity. What is that? How do we define food insecurity?
Food insecurity doesn't necessarily mean you're out starving on a street corner. Food insecurity means that you don't have consistent, regular access to enough healthy food for you to have a productive life, a healthy, productive life. So what this might mean is that for those 1 in 5 mothers who are saying that their kids don't have enough to eat, they're sacrificing and they're going without so their kids can have the food. What it means is that someone is living off of ramen noodles and they're not getting the nutrition that they need. And eating like that leads to a lot of health issues, which is coming up a lot right now, too.
Right.
In the vulnerable populations and lower income, all of the health disparities, which having consistent access to nutritious food can really help prevent in the long run. So I feel what's happening right now is this, all of the things that have been happening in our society are just blowing up in our face right now. So many of these things could have been prevented if we had the vast majority of Americans having a consistent access to healthy food. People would be in better health. There's just a lot of things right now where I'm hoping that this opportunity shows us a time that we can now build a better system and do it right coming back from this.
I just want to mention, just in the 22 minutes that we've been doing this, we've made $20,000. So, which is really beautiful and is amazing, and we thank everyone for helping out. It speaks to the generosity and of a community coming together to not only help the radio station but to help the people in need in our region, and there are many.
Joe, how many left? How many?
We roughly 200, so we're roughly at half. Let me ask this question. So Rosemary, I guess I'm curious, do you have any questions for Natasha before she goes? And it's just, you know,
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was on WAMC contributing money.
Oh, good for you. Aren't you nice? You know, it just
extremely worthy. I am a hoarder, so I feel like I owe this money, a food hoarder. Are people that you're seeing in the food pantry worried about any particular kind of food product, meat, or what about toilet paper? What are you doing about toilet paper?
Great question.
That is the question, right?
Yes.
I think people, one of the things we're concerned about is meat, and just those staple items, bread, rice, peanut butter, cereal, milk. I think we're very fortunate right now. The governor's Nourish New York program happened, and they're going to be investing in dairy, New York agriculture, dairy and produce, and getting it out through the food bank system. We're very grateful for that. But again, the supply chain is really tricky. So yeah, toilet paper. Another thing that people are really wanting is cleaning supplies, things to sanitize, hand sanitizer. And the other thing that we're trying to distribute through the pantry system is masks, because a lot of people in the community don't have masks and they're staying home because they're afraid. And so a lot of the pantry coordinators are saying, we're not seeing some of our regular people. They're afraid. They don't want to come out. We're trying to reach out. So we're trying to get masks out to people as well.
And one other question, how about volunteers? Do you have people to box food and stock shelves and all of the rest?
So many of the volunteers are vulnerable and are staying home. And also pantries are trying to reduce the number of people. It's challenging. You have to keep people 6 feet apart. So the vast majority of pantries in our region right now are covered for volunteers. However, if people do want to volunteer, we're finding some remote opportunities. And at the food pantries for the Capital District, if you are interested in volunteering, what we're doing right now is building a volunteer reserve pool so that as change, mm-hmm. as needs change, we can reach out to our volunteer reserves. And just last week, we had someone who needed people to come and home deliver grocery items. So we were able to put a call out to the volunteer reserve, got the need met. We had another pantry who needed someone to make 400 calls to people to check in on them, and we got volunteers to help with that as well. So,
fantastic.
So please join our volunteer reserves if you're able to.
1-800-323-9262 is the telephone number to help out this morning. Again, a $100 donation to WAMC. That money comes to us, but it triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, to make the funds available to the food pantries of the Capital District to make the funds available for them to supply one family food for 3 months. So just think of that. You are basically adopting a family for 3 months to help them. We can help 400 families this morning. I've got a weird number on my screen, so I'll wait on that. But I believe we're just at about 600,000. So I think we're about halfway through. And it's been an amazing morning already. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. And of course, Alan, not a big surprise that people are being generous and wonderful, especially when so many people are suffering in our region.
You know what? This is worth anything. I mean, it really is. When you think about what we're all about, what people who are listening are all about, it's worth almost anything. It's worth blowing through the news, for example.
which we did not on purpose, by the way, but yes.
but really, it's unbelievable. And then on top of this, as if this wasn't enough, $15,000 from one individual.
Right.
If we can make $50,000 this morning, how are we doing on that one, Joe?
Well, I don't have a number in front of me. The screen has frozen. I have a wild number. My number on my screen that was saying that we were almost at $600,000 is now telling me that we have $6 million. I don't think that's accurate, but
no, this is somebody put a zero in.
Yeah. So it just went back to zero, and we're re-upping. Rebooting.
Joe.
So we'll get that to you in just a second. But
what a great group of people we have listening to this radio station. You can't say anything else.
It really is incredible. Terry, anything you want to ask?
Well, I think she addressed it regarding transportation. You know, it's just been my observation that these food pantries are often located in areas where people don't have access to public transportation. They don't have access to a local well-stocked grocery store. And so these pantries are often in those communities where people can actually just walk to them because they're in the neighborhood. But I am curious, just in regards to transportation, which has been a barrier to food access for many, do you do a lot of home deliveries?
Since the crisis happened in the regions that we serve, we've been able to help facilitate pantries who are taking on the home delivery covering the entire geographic area that we're working in. So we've been matching community groups who are offering to do the actual delivery part. And so far, so good. We've got it covered. But it is a huge undertaking. It does take a lot of resources and time. But we have been able to meet that need. There's still some challenges, especially in some of the rural communities, getting food out there consistently, but everybody's working together to make that happen. So I have to say that the collaboration of the providers and community members working together is just really incredible right now, to make sure that we're filling the gaps and identify them when we're aware of them.
1-800-323-926.
The other thing that...
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the other thing that I just wanted to mention is when we're raising money for food pantries, I think when we talk about food pantries, the first thing that comes up to people's mind is, I'm going to have a food drive. I'm going to go to the grocery store and buy 10 cans of something. And so the dollars are really important for our pantries because most of the food the pantries get from the food bank actually has a cost associated with it. And the dollars that the pantries spend at the food bank actually go a lot farther than your dollars when you go to the grocery store to buy items for food drive. And so I think that's important for people to understand. Pantries are spending, you know, over $1 million a year in our region to pay for food, which is critical. And those dollars go a lot farther for them than it does for you.
Sure.
And another thing that the food pantries for the Capital District is doing right now is communicating. You know, we do food allocations that help the pantries pay for food. And we also want to make sure that no pantries are running out of resources right now. So so this money can help us for the pantries who are seeing extreme need and need additional funding to keep their pantry shelf stocked right now during this crisis.
So just a couple of things. We have 250 opportunities left. We've made over $26,000. We're at $606,000. So 24 to go to the challenge, Alan, to your point.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask.
Could I also,
yes,
Joe,
of course.
Could I just read a couple of comments?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you to do. Cool. You read my mind. Go.
Thank you, brother. One comment. Thank in capital letters. Thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, Alan, can I just interrupt you? I apologize.
Sure.
We just want everyone to know our phones are overloaded.
We have
like 10 people on hold. So if you want to avoid that, just go online. You can do it online. We love that you're calling. We love that you are doing this, and it's special.
Right.
We know there's a huge challenge on the line. We know that this is an amazing opportunity. Just be patient. If you are on hold, we'll get to you. I promise we'll get to you. And if you can do it online, that'll take care of it. We have very limited people because of COVID and how many people we can have in the building. We thank you very much.
WANC.org is easy. I did it with my shoulder cocked to hold up an ear. So it was.
And you were listening to the show at the same time. Alan, I'm sorry I interrupted.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I was multitasking.
God bless you, Rosemary. Okay. We heard in capital letters, thank you for what you are doing, for doing what you do. Thank you for the $15,000 match donor. Thank you for the opportunity to support both public radio and the food banks. And that's anonymous of Lake Katrine. What a wonderful note. Another, oh my God, first donate, oh, it says OMG, third donation, but I can't ignore this one because of the profound and necessary good this does on both ends. For people suffering because of the current hardships or neglected by our lack of social safety net policies and, capital letters, for the good it does for WMC, the amazing jewel of our community, Gene of Craryville. Okay, you want to make me cry? Okay. For Food Pantry, I am thankful for WAMC every day and listen from Cape Cod. That's terrific.
That's great.
I am very proud to be part of this caring family, and that's Stephanie of Harwich, New York. Come on, guys. You can't do better than those letters. Go ahead, Joe.
You really can. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Natasha, can you stay with us for 10 more minutes?
You got it.
Okay. So we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to catch up from what we missed, and we'll catch up. We'll also try to catch up on just take a breath because we're really overloaded. It's a wonderful problem to have, and yet it is a problem. So we're just going to get everything together here. We'll get try to get you a total and an update and all that good stuff. So we're going to take.
Let me just beg everybody to use WAMC.org if you possibly can. Go to WAMC.org and make your contribution as Rosemary did that way, because it really would be helpful. And there'll always be somebody who's annoyed with us because we don't answer the phones, but we try to explain that. We can't right now. So please go to WAMC.org.
And we love you, and we thank you so much for what you're doing. But it's really amazing. We'll get your total. We'll figure this out. We'll talk a little bit more about this issue. 1-800-323-9262. You give us $100 to WAMC. That will trigger the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to make the funds available for a family of four for 3 months of food from the pantry during these summer months. A family of four. We will continue after this short break. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. A wild and woolly morning, and we're thrilled. Okay, so here is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, we have a wonderful panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Terry Gibson, Natasha Pernicka, Executive Director of the Food Pantries of the Capital District, is with us. Vera Carias-Kelly is on hold. She'll be with us in a few minutes. I will say, here we go. We started off, and this is insane, but I just want you to know this. This is insane. We started with $580,000 in the lockbox, okay? And we needed $50,000 to get the $15,000 challenge and to help the 400 opportunities, which is 40 of that, to help the food pantries. Right now, we are, so we would need to get to the $630,000 point. Am I making this clear, Alan? Am I good enough? Doing all right?
Sounds clear to me.
All right.
But then what do I know?
Okay, but here we go. That means that we are $1,200 away from making our goal.
Wow.
So what we'd like to do is to make this, we would like to make this in the next 7 minutes. Then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to set up and we'll have a new goal. And we will get Vera on. We'll talk about the news, and we'll do other stuff. And if that works for you, Alan, then that's what we'll do.
Certainly works for me, Joe. But just a moment to thank our wonderful $15,000 donor by name.
Yes, Stephen Haggerton of Rock Tavern, New York, doing the incredible this morning, $15,000. So not only have we made $50,000, well, we haven't yet, but we will soon, $50,000 in the lockbox, but also this challenge for $15,000. Let me just, Natasha, before we let you go, and I thank you very much for holding on. You're just wonderful. Is what we're experiencing right now of this outpouring, not only for this radio station, but of course for what we're doing this morning, which is to, you know, we've been making $50,000 and we've been doing it in 2 hours, and today it was, you know, 45-50 minutes. So my question to you is, are you seeing that outpouring as well?
We are incredibly grateful for the generosity of individuals, the community foundation, all of the corporate foundations. We're seeing a huge rallying of really the nation to make sure that people have their basic needs covered. And I think everyone can relate to food. And so we have been so grateful. And it's really helping to help keep the supply in the pantries. We've had to hire several more delivery drivers. We do a lot of food distribution, and compared to last year, we've delivered 50% more food this year already than we have last year at this time. A lot of nonprofits right now are having to go remote. It's costing a lot of money figuring out the technology.
Yep.
And so it's really helping us stay strong as a coalition collective work of food providers to be strong for the community in this time of need. So yes, thank you. And thank you for this timely invitation to come on to the roundtable today to really talk about this. We just want people to know that we're here. When you look at some of the news, it's saying, you know, significant numbers of pantries are closing, but here in our area, by far the vast majority are open. So if you are in need, please seek support, because the community is generous and making sure that we're all supported right now to be there for you.
I have one quick question and then we'll let you go. We'll go to a break, and I will say we've made our goal. So that is incredible. So thank you to Stephen Haggardin of Rock Tavern. We've made that goal. We still have some opportunities left. I'll talk about that in a minute on the other side of the break. What happens is while not everyone, people are supporting the effort, but they're not giving the $100. So that means that we do have opportunities, and I'll get your number for that, and we'll kind of reset the table when we come back from a break. My question to you, Natasha, before you leave, is, you know, we, again, front page of the New York Times, this issue of food insecurity. If there's any good that can come out of this pandemic, is it that people understand the precarious nature that our food supply is in and can be in, and that it doesn't take much to really screw things up?
I think the food supply is critical, and I think for Americans to wake up and recognize that we have more than 40% of our population who cannot withstand losing one paycheck. They're just one paycheck away from a crisis. It's more than 40% of our population, and I think we really need to take a turn and decide, how are we going to do this? Are we okay with feeding a significant number of our population through charity? That's what's happening right now. Thanks to the generosity, because we could not be doing this without the community's support. But when we move forward, let's hope that we can get to a place where people have the incomes that they need so that they can withstand short-term crisis and you know, make a better economy for everyone in the long term.
Natasha Pernicka, I thank you. First of all, I'm blessed to have you as a friend, and I thank you very much for coming on this morning. I called you literally at the last minute and asked you to be on this morning, and you moved heaven and earth to be with us, and I appreciate it so much. And thank you for the wonderful work you're doing, and thank you for being with us. It's just a pleasure, as always, to speak to you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Alan, Seymour Fox Foundation, everyone at WAMC, and the listeners of WAMC. You are an incredible community, and we're grateful to be a part of this work together with you. Thank you so much for having me here today, Joe.
Thank you.
And it goes without saying how grateful we are for your work. You are terrific.
Thank you, Natasha. All right, Alan, $640,507 in the lockbox. We are going to take a break. We're going to get Vera Carius Kelly on the line, and then we are going to continue for the next hour, talk about things, and also we'll mention how many opportunities are left to help the food pantries. We'll come up with a new goal. Thank you so much for your generosity. It's just been amazing, and we'll keep going when we come back. Alan, you want to add anything?
No, I just want to tell you, Joe, how proud I am of you and the work that you do here. You know, it's amazing, it's astounding, and we thank you for it.
Well, thank you. It's just amazing that people are so wonderful and so generous, and we love everyone for doing this. So we'll take a break. We will be back. We'll reset the table here. We'll go to news, and we'll come back with an update. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. There are still opportunities to help the food pantry available. Just because we met our goal, we still do have opportunities available, and we'll tell you all about that and our new goal and all that cool stuff right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. What a morning. It's been It's been a wild morning. We have been fundraising. We have been talking about our lockbox. We have been helping the food insecure in our region. And our listeners have just done an amazing thing and will continue to do this morning. So just to give you the quick synopsis here, we started off with $580,000 in the lockbox this morning. We asked to make $50,000 over a two-hour period of time. We made it in about 50 minutes. And right now, we also, Alan, we had a $15,000 challenge, which is incredible. A $15,000 challenge from Stephen Hagedorn of Rock Tavern, New York. And he challenged us, and we made it, believe it or not. So that is really incredible, and we thank you so much. So here's the deal. We have 160 opportunities left to help the food insecure in our region. So what happens, so what that means is we have 160 families that we can basically adopt and take under our wing. And for 160 people giving $100 to WAMC, that triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four in our region for the nearly 70 pantries throughout our region. So that is really incredible. And so here's what we have to do. We have a new goal, and we have a new challenge. We obviously want that 160, those 160 people to be helped, and so we want to make $20,000 in the next 40 minutes, right? Is that right? 40 minutes? In the next 40 minutes, 160 people that we can help will make $20,000. And Alan, we have a $10,000 challenge from Anonymous of New York, New York to do that with. Alan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
There you are. Hello.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much for that, Joe.
No, I'm sorry.
So my point here is that we have this incredible thing going. I just want to take one more moment to thank Stephen Hagedorn and also Anonymous from New York City for doing this incredible amount of money, but also, and you, Joe, for what you're doing here and how it's all worked out. But mostly, I really want to thank the Seymour Fox Foundation for being there with us at each step of this. They are phenomenal people.
Yes, they certainly are, and they've been wonderful people to collaborate with in this regard, and we'll be doing more over the next couple of days on different opportunities and different things that we have decided are really important in the community. So we have a lot of work to do. Let's go. Yes. 1-800-323-9262. I'll keep you up to date on how many we have left of the opportunities to help the food pantries.
Could I just remind everybody to do it, if you can, at WAMC.org, the way Rosemary did it.
That's
this
right.
Morning. That's so important because there were four people backed up on everybody's phone.
Yeah.
So as much as you could do it on WAMC.org, great. Or you could stick it in an envelope, a check in an envelope, and send it to WAMC at 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. Go, Joe.
Without getting too much in the weeds, I just want to remind people that for any reason, if you go online and you want to help out the food pantries and you're doing $100 or more, there's the drop-down menu, and it has the food pantries on there. If you can't find it readily and you're getting frustrated, it should be easy to find. But if it isn't, just in your comment box, just put food pantry, and we'll take care of it. It's very, very easy to do. So we don't want to make it hard. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. So we need $20,000 as of right now, we have until 11 o'clock this morning. We have until 11 o'clock. So we have 50 minutes, 49 minutes this morning.
So that's 200 people, Joe?
Yes, sir. 200 people, and we have 160 opportunities to help the homeless.
And by the way...
Not the homeless, to help the food insecure. My apologies.
But that's tomorrow. By the way, Joe, this is incredible because a lot of people are not pledging the 100. They're pledging something towards this.
Correct.
And that's why we were able to make so much and have so much left over that we were able to do for $100.
That's right. So we have a $10,000 challenge on the table. And just so, again, I don't want to bore you with math here, but we're at $670,000 right now. If we make the $20,000, that'll bring us to $690,000. Which will get us the $10,000 challenge, which means we'll be at $700,000 in our fund drive.
And we're not even in a fund drive.
That's even in the fund drive. And we started at 581 this morning. So just to put that all into some sort of context for you. All right. Let's get back to the show. We know you'll do what you need to do. Please, $100 to WAMC. That triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four to the food pantries of the Capital District in this time of COVID, where they so desperately need it, as outlined by Natasha Pernicka, the executive director of the food pantries of the Capital District, in our last hour. Because that line was taken up by Natasha, we were a little late getting to our Thursday regular, Vera Carias-Kelly, the Siena College Professor of Comparative Politics. Vera, thank you for being on hold. Thank you for your patience, and it's wonderful to have you on the program. Good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks for welcoming me, and I think it's really important to support the fundraiser, so much more important than having me online.
Well, not at all, but I thank you very much for giving up the spot. Normally we can get more people in, but in these times that we're in right now, it's we only have
limited.
A limit on the phone line. So
we got a note saying, will this fundraising continue until the real fundraising in June is supposed to be? The answer to that, Joe, is no.
No.
The minute we make that million, we're done. And it looks like we could do that with everybody's help right now.
I don't want to be cocky, but it seems like we could do it like in the next hour. The ratings are going.
Yeah. The answer to that question is no.
Yeah.
We will stop the minute we get to that million, and we're getting close now, folks. So anything you can do now would be great. Go ahead, Joe.
It sure would. We love you and whatever you can do. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Okay, so let's get to the news of the day. We'll talk about what's going on here, and we welcome your letters, panel@WAMC.org, and also at WAMC.org to help out with the food pantries. Okay.
Joe, one more thing. I know I'm interrupting too much, but I just want to make sure that everybody understands what's going on here. We still have about 160 of these opportunities,
yes,
to support a family of four, right? Isn't
yep.
that
that's it.
Correct.
That's it.
Okay, number one. And number two, we have an additional incredible $10,000 match from Anonymous of New York City. Which we are operating to. And how much do we have to make to get that, Joe?
Right now we need $18,000.
Well, so everybody, 180 people will do it. You'll support people who need it, and you'll support the radio station that you listen to and love all the time. Thank you.
1-800-323-9262. Okay. We really do love you, and if it sounds like things are out of control, they are just a little bit, because yeah, we didn't expect this to take off quite the way that it did, although
well,
we probably should have. Yes, it is the fun of it. All right, so the letter or the article that I want to get to is it's an analysis in the Washington Post, and it's titled "Trump's Effort to Wish Away the Coronavirus Enters the Next Stage." Quote unquote. From the start of the coronavirus outbreak, it has been evident that President Trump would prefer to wish the whole thing away. At first, it was excessive optimism that ran afoul of health experts' projections. He spoke about how China had a handle on the whole thing and repeatedly theorized about how the virus would suddenly just go away, perhaps when the weather warmed in April. I'll remind you, it's May. He has mused about and pushed a series of quick fixes for the problem, including untested drugs and a thoroughly odd suggestion about injecting disinfectant and light into people. But in recent days, Trump's hopeful approach toward the outbreak has entered a new stage, moving on as if the battle is on the verge of being won. Trump has ceased holding daily briefings on the virus, handing the torch over to his new White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, for far less frequent briefings that aren't billed as being specifically about the virus. He has signaled in recent days that the White House coronavirus task force may either wind down or, as he walked it back a little bit yesterday, enter a new phase with personnel changes more focused on reopening the economy. Trump has also begun hailing the yet-to-be-determined death toll as a success, despite indications that the outbreak is still growing outside the first major U.S. hotbed in New York City. Vera, I'll let you start since you haven't been able to speak yet.
Yeah, so for me, this entire conversation shifting almost exclusively to reopening the economy is quite disturbing, because I regularly speak with my family in Germany, and we compare and contrast policy approaches, research data, information that's shared publicly. And I must say, the entire premise here in the United States seems to be now by President Trump, let's forget about those who have already died and those many more who will die, in favor of shifting the conversation to just simply reopening the economy. The premise in Germany was, by Chancellor Merkel clearly established early on, let's listen to the science, let's make sure we protect our elders, let's establish what makes sense in terms of public policy so our numbers of infections are low, our death rates are kept as low as possible, and then we re-engage in conversations on how to reopen. Now, Germany is in at this point where they're beginning to reopen, and the first week indicates that the numbers of infections have not gone up, and the testing is continuing, and the tracing of those that might be infected continues. Here, a totally different story. Apparently, in the United States, this administration believes that they can simply ignore the number of deaths and refocus the conversation, the national conversation, on economic enterprises and returning to a sense of normalcy by ignoring the death rates and the infection rates that are shifting across the country into the South and the Midwest.
Angela Merkel said, "We can afford a little audacity." The country's infection numbers that she announced were not just stable but lower than 2 weeks ago. The chancellor said it was now in a position to reopen most aspects of its economy and society. What should our takeaway from that be, Rosemary?
Listen to the scientists, and we are not. And I don't know how worthwhile it is to continue bashing Trump. He ignored the crisis, he downplayed it, and he continues to do that. He's rightly worried about the economy. We all are. But you don't fix the economy by sending people to certain death. What concerns me more are people around this country, my fellow citizens, who continue to think that Trump is doing a great job, who resist wearing masks, who resist social distancing, who think that it's some sort of trampling on their rights. Unbelievable to me, and I'm not sure what the cure is. I don't think they're listening. They definitely are not listening to us or to reason. I think Fauci and Birch, did they not get the signal this week that, no, they are not doing any good? They are not being listened to. They are not doing any good. They need to get out and work with governors.
Terry Gibson.
Well, I think the takeaway from the story in Germany is that other world leaders, other country leaders, have stepped in and filled the void that the United States used to fill. We used to be a leader. We used to be the ones to be out front saying, this is the way to solve this problem. We're no longer doing that, certainly not from the presidential administration. The closest we're getting is the work that governors and mayors and local elected officials are doing, but that is not enough. And I would also point out that as much as Trump wants to hide from this and completely ignore it, we are approaching unemployment numbers that are surely going to at least get to where we were in the Great Depression, if not beyond that.
Alan, your take on this and sort of how we, you know, I was just struck by what Rosemary said of, you know, of being concerning ourselves with Trump because he isn't listening. But it's kind of hard, right, when he's the guy who's kind of setting up the dance card.
You are so right, Joe. Look, this guy is so transparent now. He wants to win an election. He knows he can't. The economy is in the damper and toilet, and he knows and he knows he can't do it. He knows he can't do it, so he's looking desperately for any way out. Anybody to blame, the Chinese. The one group he doesn't blame, I wonder why, are the Russians. Remember the Russians? They're still at it. We know it from our intelligence community. They're still trying to mess around with our elections. They've done it before, and they'll do it again. So what do we have here? We have a guy who is literally out of control. He got killed on his suggestion in the midst of, not even in the middle, but in the beginning third of the pandemic, at least the beginning third. Now there are estimations it's going to last for 3 years. He says, well, we can do away with this committee that is coordinating all the efforts of our government. And he got beaten up terribly, I am sure. And all of a sudden he says, just kidding. I mean, I didn't mean that. That's the phony press, the whatever he says. We are gonna keep going with this committee. Can you believe it? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Just a quick update on where we are in our fundraising, yeah. But we're at $681,000, which means we need $9,000 to get to our $10,000 goal. We also have 51 opportunities left to help the food pantries. That means $100 coming to WAMC that triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to make the funds available for the equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four going to the food pantries of the Capital District. So,
just a shout out, Joe, to the Seymour Fox Foundation, one more time, Memorial Foundation. You know, this takes a lot of just decency, and they are a wonderful group, and we want to thank them for everything they're doing.
We really do. It's been an amazing collaboration, and we thank them. We thank all of you who are helping out and making this possible. And but we can help a lot of people this morning. You know, when all is said and done, we will have helped 400 families in this time, and we're just about $7,000 away from our goal.
And how many do we have left, Joe?
51 opportunities. Yep. So whatever you can do, please do. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. So when we look at this idea of what Trump is calling the next stage and the next phase, I guess, Rosemary, even when we talk about the task force, I mean, was there ever really a phase one? Because we were sort of all over the place for that.
Well, there was a phase one, and Trump did declare a national emergency. He did extend it for another month. It looked like he was listening, that he was finally caught up with the prospect of thousands of deaths on his watch, and he listened. But then he saw the economy begin to crash, and he reversed course. And I don't think that the scientists have ever gained back their status with him. I think he's now listening to Jared and to his economic advisors. And he has decided that 100,000 deaths he can weather. Unbelievable to me that he thinks that, but we already know that. So we switch then to the governors, and why we'll listen to the governors and we'll be okay. I feel safe relatively in New York and in Michigan and California, and yet now my fellow citizens in those states are defying the governors and siding with Trump. That to me is far more crazy. I mean, do they not have relatives who are endangered? And the fact that he wants to send our kids back to school is the most insidious of all to me. Oh, they don't get it. Well, they're getting Kawasaki disease and weird things. We don't know. And he's willing to sacrifice your children for his economic numbers. If we let that happen, that is, yes, it's on Trump, but we already know that. It's on us.
Vera?
But can I also point something out? Yeah, so thanks, Rosemary. I think really important observation. The other element to this is that apparently nationwide he's pursuing an effort to normalize death, as in people die anyways at an older age, therefore what difference does it make to us? And the second aspect is a racial aspect, because a lot of the highest numbers of deaths come from inner cities and among first responders and healthcare workers in this crisis, and the percentage of minority communities are particularly high in those areas. And when you look at the larger narrative coming out of this White House, it is the normalization of our elders dying because they would have died anyways, or they would have been, they would have supported saving the economy, or, well, inner cities, and they have other issues anyways, so this doesn't affect the rest of the country, like the Midwest. I mean, the narrative is truly counter the common good and counter pulling the nation together in support of a public health response. Yes. It is divisive, and it is targeting urban and minority communities for almost blaming them for the death rate in the country.
Terry Gibson.
Well, I do think so much of the division that we're seeing in the country right now really is being fueled by the administration's unwillingness to take a role in this. What's alarming me is that more and more you're reading every day, whether it's through the CDC or through just the administration themselves, they're pulling back information that they had originally put out to the public to offer guidance and advice on how local communities could help put plans in place to deal with the pandemic. They're taking things off their website. They're no longer speaking about these things to the press as much as they were. They're literally just running from it and completely leaving it in the hands of local and state officials to figure this out. And that's creating chaos because every local official and every governor and every mayor has a slightly different message, a slightly different way of dealing with this. And so the American public has 30 different places they can look to figure out what they want to hear. And they look for places that align with what their values and beliefs are. And it's why you see so much disruption. Mm.
And Alan, I assume we're going to continue to see disruption.
Well, we will see disruption. What is bugging me, I think it was Vera who said that it had to do with, oppression of minorities. That is true. But they're also voters. And that is what this is all about. You know, you make sure that they can't vote.
Right.
You make sure that and I believe when Rosemary says, how come these folks are sticking with these with this guy, even though he's been embarrassed again and again and again? The answer is because of what I just said, because this is we don't want a black and brown group of people playing their role in American politics. I believe that's true. Can I just read a letter, Joe, that I think is important that we
Absolutely.
Just got?
We have one minute, but go ahead.
Okay, it's very short. It's from Dave and Pat Brown, and they said, do you realize you've raised over $100,000 in 1 hour? Well, I think that's a little exaggerated. But it's a lot. You guys are wonderful and amazing. The answer is not us. It ain't us that's wonderful and amazing. It's you. It's everybody else who's participated.
Actually, if we make our goal, it'll be $120,000. But who's counting?
Wow.
Right.
That's incredible. Really, it shows the strength of the listenership and the support this radio station has throughout the region. I mean, it's incredible.
It really is. It's quite amazing. We have we still have a few opportunities left in the food pantry, just about a dozen or so.
Wow.
But we need about $1,300 to make our goal. We have another 15, 20 minutes to do it in. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back and do more right after this. All right, just a little bit of news here. We are at the we're out of the food pantry opportunity. So just so you know that, that's one piece of news for you. The other piece of news for you is that we have a $10,000 challenge for us to get to the $700,000 point. That now means that we are just $8,900 away from that, and we're going to try to do it before Congressional Corner. If we have to go a little bit longer, then you'll hear Congressional Corner tomorrow.
So that's 10,000. Let me just make sure I get that straight. So that's 10,000 bucks, Joe. That's the original 10,000 from New York City. Is that right?
I think so. Oh. In full
unless it's a new $10,000.
In full transparency, Alan, I really, yeah. I think it may be a new $10,000. Actually,
oh boy, and do we know? And do we know who that's from?
I just sent out for that information.
You know what? If somebody gives $10,000, I think the very least they have a right to hear.
They have a right. I think it was
their name on the radio.
I think it's anonymous, but I have to check. I have to check on where it's from, so we'll figure that out. We're doing the digging right now, but anyway, but we need $8,000. The opportunities for the food pantry are done. So thank you so much. I just want to say, look, 400 families that all of you coming together this morning as a community, as a loving group of people, helping 400 families and taking them under your wing has been a beautiful thing. And not only that, helping this public radio station that means so much to you. So it's been an amazing morning already. $7,800 away from being to the $700,000 point, $700,000 point. In the fund drive, and we will we'll
78
be,
people, right?
That's right. Yeah, 75 yeah. Now actually.
75. It's really going fast. Hey, gang. You're all so wonderful. You know, Joe. Remember the days? Just take a second to have a little bit of an observation here. You remember the days when we used to sit around and give out hats and Allen bobbleheads and, you know, socks and things of that kind. All available to anybody who wants it, by the way.
Yeah.
You can have it.
You have stuff.
Yeah, we got stuff. But think about what this audience reacts to when they have an opportunity to make this kind of a difference. It's just so extraordinary and wonderful. It's great. And by the way, just one more shout out to the Fox Foundation, to the
Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation.
The Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation. We want to give them their due because they are phenomenally helpful to WAMC and to our community, and we are very grateful. Really,
we are grateful. By the way, Alan, a new $10,000 challenge from New York, New York.
New York, New York.
New
and
York,
it's new.
New York. Anonymous. And so all pretty incredible. I want to – you have some comments that are coming in, Alan. I'm just going to go through a few letters. I'll let you find those.
Okay.
And
okay,
we have
sure.
not gone to any listener letters this morning, so let me do that. And
I got them, so when you're ready.
Oh, okay, go ahead. You do them, and then we'll go to the letters.
Okay, just upgraded to a sustaining membership. And I'm particularly grateful for the opportunity to help out local food pantries. I live in New York City, but grew up in Washington County, New York. Seymour Fox Foundation rocks. Thank you, capital letters, so much for shedding round table light every morning in one of our darkest times. Long live Alan, Joe, Rosemary, and WAMC. And that's from Ellen in New York, New York.
I'm sure they want Vera and Terry to live long, too.
Yes, I'm sure. And I know that I do, too.
Yes, I think we all do. But go ahead.
Okay, another letter. The sustaining donation is for those who can help right now. It is long-term because, as our grandparents used to say 80 years ago, the duration will last longer than the war. I am grateful that I can do this. From Molly Ann of Coconut Creek, Florida.
Wow. Cool.
People are calling from all over the country, all over the world. It's great. Okay, thank you, says another letter, for keeping us connected to the outside world. More important than ever in these trying times, and that's Lori of Leverett, Massachusetts. L-O-L-O-L.
Laugh out loud?
Nope, Lori of Leverett.
Oh, Leverett. I got it. All right.
That's what I got.
Okay, $6,500 is what we need. We have 12 minutes to do it in. 1-800-323-9262. $10,000 on the table. They've given us to 11 o'clock. So if we need to take the time, we will. If not, if we can make it the next 12 minutes, that would be awesome. And we'll hear a congressional corner. So there you go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. I promise letters because we haven't gotten to any today. D. Kent says, I commend Governor Cuomo for his encouragement on wearing masks in public. Is there a way to send him a suggestion to take a few minutes during his daily briefing to show people how to properly wear them? That's a great point, although I will say there's a lot online and certainly I think even on our website of the wearing of the masks. The state, if you go to the state website, they do have that on there, but good point. Jeremy says, according to the news report I just heard on WAMC, New York State claims that unemployment benefits have gone unpaid because people are not doing the weekly process of filing claims. I can attest from personal experience that this is not accurate. People are unable to file these weekly claims due to breakdowns in the technology or the process. I'm in limbo, unable to complete my filing without speaking to one of the representatives who are unreachable by phone. From what I've seen on the internet, I am far from alone in this frustrating state. And it certainly does seem like a frustrating state. Geraldine asked the question of what legal basis does Trump have for forbidding Fauci to testify. I don't know the legal basis, but it is. But then I also heard him as he was getting onto the chopper heading out to Honeywell, Rosemary, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, that he said he was going to let Fauci speak.
Oh, I didn't hear that, Joe.
Okay.
I didn't hear it either. But, you know, this guy keeps getting beaten up. They're beating the S out of him. You know,
stuffing.
The stuffing. or the something out of him.
Yes.
And I can tell you, he keeps what happens is he says something really bad, and then the next day he takes it back again and again and again. And as Rosemary always points out so perceptively, his troops don't change. Right, Rosemary?
Right. They don't care. I mean, he's learned that he just throws out something. If it takes, great. If not, he just readjusts, acts like he never said it in the first place, has no problem defying his own words, his own videotapes in the past. And people just say, okay, that's cool. All politicians lie. It's just unbelievable to me. And the fault is not with Trump, who has simply learned to read his audience, but with that audience.
I want to go back to the letters, read this one from Susan. This one's will be a tough one to get through, but here we go. Thank you. You folks make my day, and I love you all and depend on you for thoughtful information and guidance and a good laugh, too. I need these wonderful food banks, especially at the end of the month. I used to be embarrassed to go and even ashamed. I got over that with the lovely people that volunteer there and the camaraderie with others benefiting just like me. So now I have my monthly income and outgo handled, and wow, I finally get my check from our fascist, psychopathic, narcissistic, dumb leader, yay president tweet. I can give our station a little more. I challenge others in my position, ancient, poor, but interested in the good things in life, give what little they can. It all adds up. Thank you, Susan. And Susan,
oh,
from Bennington, we love you. And if I knew how to embroider, I would make that a pillow.
Oh, boy.
All right. Molly says, if people would like to help with food distribution and service in the Capital District, they can volunteer at the Regional Food Bank. We have a warehouse to sort and pack food for the pantries. All volunteers are kept at least 6 feet apart. Gloves and hand sanitizer are provided. Volunteers need to bring their own masks, and you can sign up on the Regional Food Bank website. We're actually going to be talking about that in the days ahead, and that's going to be something that we will be mentioning as well. Let's see. Susan says, although Trump is eager to get back to normal vis-a-vis an economy, he's not taking the public's fear and trepidation into account. I believe it will be very slow, sluggish, open, and hardly the recovery he's hoping for until the second COVID wave hits. We are at the mercy of an insane administration. That's a good point.
You know, the other thing that's happening is that it's moved out of New York City. COVID is no longer a disease of the big urban evil Democratic areas. It's moving into rural areas. And I'm eager to see how that changes perceptions.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Vera, you may have more to say about that.
I never want to contradict Rosemary. Believe me, I don't, because I have so much admiration for her. But we want to make it clear that
you're
it
just
is
afraid
still,
of me.
Yeah, that's true. That it's still.
I think we're all afraid of you, Rosemary. Go ahead.
It's still in the New York City area. It's not that it's no longer in the New York City area. Believe me, it's there, and it's there big time.
It's declining, though. The numbers are going down there.
Oh yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that's all I meant. Meaning
that we're moving into hotspots, and hotspots that we weren't expecting. I mean, even the governor was talking about a vegetable plant in the upper part of the state. I mean, it's really it is that density issue, and it can hit anywhere. And that is we're even in the governor's briefings of saying that those numbers are they're coming down, but it's not the drop mm-hmm. that they were expecting.
Yeah,
so how are we doing, Joe?
Yeah, I wanted to make a quick point on the meatpacking plants in the Midwest, for example, right? So I find it fascinating that we have a conversation about the president forcing those meatpacking plants to open up, even though they're hot spots and the companies are not really pushed into making those facilities safe for the workers that need to return to their jobs. But we have no discussion about other meatpacking plants elsewhere in the world that have completely restructured how they process the meats at all, right? Like, as if this is only an issue in the United States and it just costs too much to reorganize and restructure the slaughtering process, for example. It is so crazy that people, not our listeners, but many of the supporters of the Trump administration do not ask questions, do not wonder how other places manage their production facilities, and one wonders at what point this propaganda of just insisting on something that the president says in a bubble, he has no idea what really is happening, he doesn't understand science, he spreads in misinformation and believes that if you repeat it often enough, it works. And one wonders how long it will take for more people in this country to wake up and think about, why is it happening like this in the United States, and why can the same problem be addressed in neighboring countries or in other places in the world much more effectively than here, which is supposedly the most advanced and the wealthiest country in the world.
So the question I have right now is, can we make $2,228 in 3 minutes? What do you think?
Because if we can, I know we can, because if we can, then what happens, Joe?
We get $10,000 and we get to go over to the congressional corner. If not, we'll just keep yapping. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. $2,228 is what we need.
Oh,
and that's to get us to $700,000. And then I'll do some wild math and tell you how much money that we made.
And yes, Joe, what are the ways to do that?
WAMC.org is the best way, WAMC.org. You can also go on the phone lines. We have a few. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. And you can do it just the good old-fashioned way. I don't even think it's old-fashioned. Even though we have a new Postmaster General, we can talk about that too. But you can put a stamp on an envelope and send us a check. 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. We need $1,392, Alan.
Oh, boy. Come on, everybody. This is it. This is the moment of truth. This is where we all live together when we make this, and we have so much fun doing it. It's incredible. Guy writes before and said, do you realize you made $100,000 this morning? That is incredible, folks. It's all you. It's all you. You've done it. All we need now is, a couple of people who will make it.
$1,800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262, down to $1,100 now, and 2 minutes, 2 minutes and $1,100. It's going to be a race to the wire, my friends, a race
you
to the wire.
You can do so much in 2 minutes. Let's go.
You really can. 1-800-323-9262.
You know, Joe, very quickly.
Flashbacks to college. Yes, go ahead.
I love to watch the programs where they tell you, which house are you going to buy? You know,
those are good.
They always instruct them what to say, and they come in and they always say, wow. Wow.
And that can be a good wow, a bad wow.
No, it's almost always a good wow. It's an instructed wow. But I'm saying what we've seen here this morning, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely. Okay, so we made it. That's the good news. We made it. And with some very quick calculations, we started at 9:13 this morning. It is now 10:48, and we have made $138,423.
Wow.
So there you go. We are going to take a break. My thanks to Rosemary, Vera, and Terry. Thank you for your patience. Thanks for being so wonderful and your understanding. And we love you very much. And thanks, of course, to the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation. And thanks to the food pantries. And, of course, thanks to all of you for making this possible. We love you very much. Thanks. All right, Alan, we'll be back. We'll do this again tomorrow. And we'll continue. We'll have Congressional Corner this morning next.